believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Monroe, Michigan, delivering newspapers. He served in Vietnam and became a columnist for the Monroe Evening News. He's also a singer, composer, recording artist, public speaker, and author. His book, The Ghost Closet, is about his return to Vietnam to build schools. He and his wife, Renee, are the founders of Guided Ministries, which believes that each of us are our brother's keeper and we're to bear each other's burdens as well as share each other's joy. His name, Tom Trees. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's Jack.
We're with Tom Trees, world-class author, columnist, singer, composer, recording artist, public speaker, on and on and on. Tom, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Can we start by talking about your parents and your childhood?
Okay. Born of parents who migrated north from Tennessee to find work in the auto industry. And I was a baby boomer, born in 1947. And my parents were basically came from dirt farmers. My father went through the second grade. That was his most education that he had. Was pulled out of school to have to work the farm when he was a boy. My mother went, I think, through the sixth grade or something. So they were poor. We were raised in a poor neighborhood, basically. Last ones to have a TV and such. But they were strong people of faith and believed that as I do, that we are our brother's keeper, as you mentioned earlier, and that we are to help one another, and that taught me the fruits of the Spirit and values and morals and ethics that I am certainly glad to have in my life today.
Where did you get your love for music?
I don't know. I just always had it. I remember I used to love to hear Elvis when I was a kid. Loved to hear him sing, and I loved to hear the old blues singers that soul singers that just poured it out of their hearts. There's something special about something that comes up from inside and moves you.
How did you ever become a writer, a columnist?
Well, that was a strange twist. I was on the newsletter committee for my Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 142 down in Monroe, and one day I said, you know, we ought to put a have an opinion column in our newsletter that basically deals with veterans issues. And so the newsletter editor said, great, you write it. So I started writing it. And then one of our members would take the newsletters to his office. He was a doctor. And so one of the clients happened to be an editor of one of the local newspapers, and he read it, and he called me up and asked me if I'd be interested in writing for that paper. And so I said, sure. So I started writing for free for this paper. And then that kind of fell apart, and then the Monroe Evening News called me and said, are you still writing that? And I said, well, no, I don't have an outlet for it. And I said, would you like to? And I said, sure. So I've been doing that for about the last 5 years.
You're the third guest I've had from Monroe.
Oh.
Two were beautiful.
Great town. Oh, yeah. You must have had Kehlani and Lori,
Miss America,
probably.
And Lori Adams.
Yes.
The second one was a singer.
Yes.
It's a special little town.
Yes, it is.
Tell us about what makes Monroe. Paul W. Smith come from
sure.
Monroe.
Sure. Paul is from Monroe.
What makes that little town so special?
Well, it's small, close-knit. I think smaller tight little towns like that have a tendency to cause everybody to be a little more connected with each other. And I don't know what makes it any different from any place else, but it certainly is a great little town, great place to be from.
I had Mitch on about a year ago, Mitch Album, our own Mitch Album. And I said, Mitch, you do so much. You've got The Daily Show. You write a daily column, ESPN, the sports reporters, the phenomenal books, the plays, songs. How do you do it all? And he said, Jack, I only do one thing. I said, what's that? He said, I'm a storyteller. And Tom Trees, you are another world-class storyteller, whether it's with a guitar, a book, column. What makes a great storyteller?
Well, I don't really know. First of all, I don't know that I'm world-class. I appreciate that. But I think probably, well, for me, I can't seem to tell a story unless it's true, or if I know it, I feel it, I've experienced it, or I can imagine it or something. And then I've had a lot of things happen to me in my 61 years. And I think that basically, kind of like we're talking here, you just bring out what's in your heart and share it with others. And whether it's on a typewriter or with the guitar or singing or whatever, you just has to come from inside of you.
One thing that one of the many things I've been impressed with about you is you listen with your eyes as well as your ears. Many of your stories, it's the visual that you see.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you get that from?
Well, I think everybody has it. I don't know that everybody utilizes it. It's just always been something that I've incorporated into my music or my writing or whatever else. I try to incorporate what I see, but I'm really more focused on what I feel.
We're talking to Tom Trees, who's been an author, columnist, recording artist, public speaker, a man that has lived out his dreams. When we come back, we're going to ask him about living out a person's dreams. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Once again, here's your host, Jack Rasula.
We're talking to Tom Trees, the author of But What Do I Know? And the Ghost Closet. Tom, talk to us about living a person's dreams.
Well, I think the key is you have to have the courage to get out there and do it. Chase your dreams. You have to. I think a lot of people think about things in their own mind about what they might like to do or where they want to go or who they want to be. But I think that you start. First, everything is, it comes from within you, I think. And then basically you, whatever it is that's pushing your hot button, you pursue that. And then you have enough courage to get out there and do it. When I went to the Grand Canyon, I didn't want to just see it. I wanted to know it. And so I went and bought a pack board and 3 days worth of food and went to the bottom. When I went to the Niagara Gorge, there were some guys rappelling off of it. I'd never done that before, but I thought, I want to do that. I saw guys jumping out of airplanes, and I wanted to do it. I didn't want to just wonder how it felt. I wanted to know how it felt. So you just have to have the courage and the conviction to keep going after what it is that makes you tick.
What do you say to a person who says, I'd love to have the courage, but the fear of failing, it paralyzes me.
Well, I just think that you have to keep doing it. I mean, failure is not falling down, it's staying down. Anything that's worth doing is, you can't let failure keep you from the joy of being who you are and finding out who you really are and being able to experience the things that were made specifically for you. I mean, most people go through their life and they miss who they really are because they're too busy trying to figure out who else they want to be like instead of really, finding out what makes them tick deep inside and going after those things.
In your book, But what do I know? Mm-hmm. You talk about January 16th, 1991, and the title of that chapter is Saved from Suicide.
Correct. Well, I was working at a radio station in Toledo, and I basically had come to a kind of an end point in my life. Everything was not working, and I had gone through what most people would consider great success. I was making tons of money. I had a great job. I was pretty well known around in the area, and all of this, and everything that seemed to be that would normally make someone happy, but I just didn't have it, and I kept fading and fading and fading until, and I believe that God was calling me, and that He was going to keep. It's kind of like your children when they don't mind you. You take away the bicycle and then the computer and then you this and that until finally they don't have anything left. I was left with kind of nothing left. And so I went home that day and I just didn't feel like I had anything to live for. So I went down in the basement where I had a shotgun that my father had given me, oddly enough. And when I came back from Vietnam, I sold all my weapons. I used to be a big hunter. And so I was ready to take my own life. I just didn't feel like I had anything to live for. So I opened up that closet and reached for that shotgun. And in the thought that my father had given me that gun and how crushed he would have been had I done what I went there to do that day. And instead, I ended up reaching for it still. And the chair scooted out from under me. And I ended up on my knees in the floor. And I thought, it just hit me that I was on my knees, and I just called out to God, and I said, if you're with a mustard seed of faith, I said, if you're really there, come into my heart and show me how to live. And basically, that's exactly what He has done. And I guess the thing I want to follow that up by saying is I am grateful to Him for changing my life that day. And because if I would have missed, I can't imagine what I would have missed had I done what I went home to do that day, because He totally changed my life around. He brought me the most wonderful, gorgeous woman on the planet. He has allowed me the opportunities to chase all my dreams and to be all the things that God had originally intended for me to be. I just was lost, and my vision was blurring because I was seeing things that everybody else in the world said the way that you ought to be or whatever, instead of looking inward and finding out who I really was and who God had created me to be.
If there's an Iraqi Afghanistan veteran that's mm-hmm. come back,
yes,
that's depressed right now mm-hmm. or in despair, or, these are tough times, uncertain
right.
times.
Yes.
Within the last week, Lehman Brothers, Merrill
mm-hmm.
Lynch,
right.
unbelievable.
Right.
What would you say to those listeners?
If they were people who
down
are hurting.
Down in the dumps, hurting,
well,
in despair.
I just want to, I'm a man of faith. And so I believe that, I do believe that God created everything. I believe this life is all about Him. I believe that, we are, if you want to know true joy in your life, that you have to plug into Him. And He gives you everything that you need. Not necessarily everything you want. We tend to be like kids at a grocery store in the checkout line. Everything you see, you want. Well, it's not all good for you, so your mom don't give it to you. But He gives you everything that you need to be the person that you need to be. And the times right now are cyclic. This is, people used to stand in line waiting for to get an apple. There are people all over the world who are starving. And as bad as our problems are here, and I don't want to belittle that and make it sound like it's no big deal. It is. But if people could travel to a third world country, they would never complain about what they have here in America. And, we've seen that firsthand. And when you've seen that firsthand, it totally changes your perspective. When, children are scavenging through a dump trying to find something to eat, or taking 2-liter bottles and crushing them and tying strings around them for shoes. I mean, it's a long way away from my problems in America today.
January 16th, 91 changed your life.
That's right.
One of the things that has really struck me doing this show for 3.5 years is how often the worst thing that ever happened to a person ultimately they come to realize turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to them.
Right.
How is that?
Well, I think that, you know, we you know, nobody likes the bad things that happen. I mean, we all, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if we were on the mountaintop all the time, if we were on vacation all the time? But as the old saying goes, smooth seas never make good sailors. And so when the storms of life come, and they do, I don't care who you are, Lady Diana, or it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter how much money you have. But when the hard times come, if you aren't prepared for them, or if you're not plugged in to take them as they come, then you struggle against them, when in reality, you know, it's well, I go by scripture, and the scripture says that hard times are to be considered pure joy, even though it's hard at the time to accept it and understand it and believe it. What you're going through is the best thing that could happen to you. You just don't know it until later on down the line.
Talk to us about Dove, Development of Vietnam Endeavors.
Yes, I belong to a group out of Toledo, Ohio. We are basically 25 Vietnam veterans who have formed a nonprofit corporation, and we have been raising funds since the year 2000. Friday, oddly enough, is National POW Prisoner of War Day, and a prisoner of war from the Vietnam War, Colonel Douglas Pete Peterson, had called and asked if there were some Vietnam veterans that would care to help the people of Vietnam who were suffering. We banded together. We formed a nonprofit group, and to date, we have raised just about $1.5 million. We've built 40 schools. We've dug over 400 freshwater wells. We've built 2 water purification plants. We started a microfinance program for the poor women of Quang Tri Province, which is the province right below the Demilitarized Zone of Vietnam that was devastated by the war. And Renee and I have, and you mentioned earlier in my book, The Ghost Closet, all the profit from that book has actually built 2 schools, one specifically that we built in the village where I served during the war. So this is a, you know, this is a great thing. And another thing, you know, I think only God could take somebody who left Vietnam in 1969 hating those people. And I'm embarrassed to say some of the names I called them and how I felt about them, how I thought about them. I hated them. And there's some big stories behind it. But to then 40 years later be able to allow me to turn it completely around, where I now am building schools for obviously the great grandchildren of the same ones who were trying to kill me 40 years ago. I think only God could do that.
We're talking to Tom Trees, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Presented by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Tom Trees, the author of The Ghost Closet, which is about his and Renee's return to Vietnam to build schools. Tom, take us back, 2001. You and Renee go, she's never been to Vietnam, but you go back to Vietnam. What was that like?
Well, for starters, once we had raised enough money, we built 5 schools and 1 medical facility, and we decided that we should go over there. We want to make sure that the money we raise is going where it's supposed to be going, because you hear so many stories about hijacked finances. So we decided that we would send a group over to dedicate the schools and to make sure that the money was going where it was going. So, and I said, I think this is a great idea for you guys, but I swore in 1969 I would never go back, and so there's no way I'm going. Well, Renee, she kept saying, you know, I think you ought to go. I said, listen. And it finally got to a point where I said, honey, listen, I am not going back to Vietnam, period. I don't even want to hear any more about it. Well, she, you know, as wives can be sometimes, she just pestered the crap out of me. But she, finally, I said, well, I'll tell you what. Some of the other wives are going. If you go, I'll go. And she says, great, let's go. And so I was trapped. I was caught. And I warned her. I said, honey, I want to warn you. You're not ready for what you're going to see. I promise you, you're not ready for what you're going to find when you get to Vietnam. The second day we were over there, she came to me, tears streaming out of her eyes, just weeping. And she said, if I ever complain about anything in my life again, I want you to smack me. And I still was, when that plane came out of the sky, out of the clouds, and I looked down and saw that jungle below again, the book starts with me white knuckle gripping the seat, the arm rests on the chair because I was so scared again. I thought they were going to hate us. I thought they're going to hate me. And I thought maybe I was coming back to Vietnam to die almost. But it was just the opposite. They loved us. They treated us like kings. The majority of the people don't even remember the war, and their lifespan is so short. They were thrilled. All they want to do is feed their family and be happy. And, you know, what is that different from us in America? Nothing. That's basically the same goal of every family, I think.
Tom, what were the biggest things the Vietnam people taught you and Renee, and how did that heal you?
Well, forgiveness needs to go for anybody. I believe, you know, we all, forgiveness is just imperative for everybody. I don't care who it is or what. I think that the Vietnamese people just were forgiving. And the fact that I was an American who was a soldier there during the war meant nothing to them. They were just thrilled to see us. And the way that they treated us, the Vietnamese people basically have nothing. I mean, they really, dirt floors, no doors. They don't lock their doors. They don't have any doors. They don't have anything to steal, really. And so they are just loving and supporting of one another. And the idea that they were so forgiving of me, who had come there with I went over with an infantry company and 40 years ago, and to come back again and to embrace us the way that they did was great healing for me.
You've told me that in America we have everything. Vietnam has nothing. Yet they're happier than we are. How?
Well, I think for one thing, if you can't miss what you never had, but they don't know they don't have anything. I mean, the one thing they do is they would try to give their children to us to come to America. And they would, no matter where we'd go, they would cram their children into our arms. Please take my child to America, because they want a better life for the child. But what was crazy is that, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm a red-blooded patriot to the core. But I couldn't help but feel like, that's the last thing you want to do. Because everybody in America, just seems like everybody in America is angry and unhappy. It just seems that way. I'm not a doomsayer, but, we're at each other's throats for things, and people are ripping each other off all the time. There's so much crime and so much hatred. And there's nothing like that over there. I mean, they don't, you have police out there maybe to slow a few motorbikes down. But other than that, they're not killing each other. They're not trying to rip each other off. They're the happiest people I've ever seen on a planet.
It's very easy for us to take so much for granted, to just feel we're entitled to it. You are very appreciative. You cherish each day, Tom Trees. How do we get that cherishing each day?
Well, I think that in my But What Do I Know book, there's a chapter called Mini Lifetimes, M-I-N-I, Mini Lifetimes. And basically, I liken each day. I woke up this morning thinking that today is going to be my last day on this planet. So it's like when I wake up, I'm born. it's like a baby being born. And so then in my early morning, I'm waking up and I'm getting my coffee and then I have breakfast, and it kind of represents the early years of your childhood. And then you go to work and you work through the morning really hard, and that's like your schooling. And then in the afternoon, you're kind of, you know, finish all up, and it's your college, and you're heading out into your life, and then your professional life, and then after work, anyway, basically on through until the evening time, your golden years. And then when you go to sleep, you die again. And so I think every day is like a mini lifetime. I think that I try to live this day like I'm not going to have one tomorrow, that I may get killed on my way home, or I might have a heart attack and die in no time. So I want to make sure that everybody that I come into contact with knows how much I appreciate them, and that I love them, and that I want to try to make what time I have left here a better place.
The Ghost Closet. Why that name?
Well, I think when I went back in 2001, I had all these, you know, I had all these terrible memories of war, and it was not a fun time, 1968 in Vietnam. And so when I, after I came back, when I made it home alive, and I went through the next basically 35 years, and every now and then I would kind of like, the ghost closet, the closet was my mind, and I would kind of open up that door and look in there. And you know, I'm sure ghosts were in there, so I'd be, oh, you know, and I would close that door up and just didn't want to deal with it. But, you know, like I, at the end of the book, I say, you know, of course, nobody really doesn't believe in ghosts, do they? So the closet actually was empty the whole time. I just had to come to realize that myself, and it took going back to Vietnam for me to realize it.
As we go to a break, Tom Trees, would you share with us one of your compositions?
Sure. This is the latest one I've written. It's called The Wide Road. There are two roads in this life that you can travel down, and each one will take you where you want to go. One road leads to happiness and joy unspeakable, but it's a narrow road. And the other road is paved just for your pleasure, and you'll find most of your friends are on that road. 'Cause when everybody wants to go where everybody's going, it's a wide road. On the wide road.
Tom Trees, The Wide Road. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm, presents Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with the world-famous storyteller, man of faith, Tom Trees. Tom, you talk about, quote, the ladder of faith versus the ladder of success.
Yes.
What do you mean?
Well, for most of my life, I was trying to climb the ladder of success like I think most everybody else is. And it seemed like that, you know, as long as you're making a lot of money and you're wearing silk suits and you're driving a fancy car and living in a nice house and, you know, everything is going along normal, then you're a model of success. But, and I had all that and still wasn't happy. And then after my conversion to Christianity, when I basically turned my life over to God and put him first in my life, then all of a sudden, all those things, I mean, they're still nice, but suddenly they weren't, I realized they weren't what this life is all about. I believe, in my new book that I'm writing called The Mustard Seed, there's a ladder of faith. the ladder of faith. And I think that when people finally come to believe that God is really who he says he is, and then they step up on that bottom rung, kind of like off of the planet. So they're on this ladder of faith where they do believe that there is a God. And then the problem is, I think most people then stay there. And to me, the more that you learn and the more that you do, the higher you can go on that ladder. And the more you do for others, and the more you you go up, and the higher you go. Obviously, you stand on a mountaintop, you love the view that you see. Everybody loves that great view. The higher you get, the better the view. The more you understand, the more things start to work for you. And what I have found is, my wife and I, we used to own three hair salons, and I, you know, was a general manager of a radio station down in Toledo and Monroe, and basically, since that time, we've come down the ladder of success. We ended up, my wife ended up having some brain surgery that left her paralyzed from a neck down 2 years ago. She was paralyzed, and just, we believe that, you know, things that are equated with success have left us, we've gone higher on that ladder of faith and trusting God more in our lives.
One thing that I struggle with, all of us struggle with, is this concept of surrendering to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not my will, but thine be done.
Oh. Tough.
God is the steering wheel of Tom Trees' wife, life.
hers too, yep.
Hers too. How have you learned to surrender to God?
Well, I just think that, you know, the first commandment is, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and, you know, and no other gods before you. And I kept trying, I think most people I kept wanting to do it my way. I kept wanting to drive, no matter what. It's like a little kid, you know, my grandsons, me do it, Poppy, me do it. You know, they want to run the mouse on the computer when they still don't have a clue what it's all about or whatever. They still want to do it. We are that way, even as adults. I want to do it. We want to drive. I know what I'm doing. I know what I need. I failed in marriage and in all my relationships until now, because I kept picking out the one that I wanted. God had somebody perfect for me, and it took me getting to the point where I said, God, if I am never with another woman as long as I live, I promise you, I will put you first in my life. And the next day I met her. And it wasn't just a coincidence. I just could see God with his back to me and his arms folded, shaking his head, saying, man, when are you going to get it? When are you going to get it? I'm the vine. You're the branch. You just stay plugged into me, and I'll give you everything you need. I know the perfect person for you. I know the perfect job for you. I know you have to take me on faith. You have to trust me and let go of that steering wheel. I don't even, anybody that tells you that God's our co-pilot, they got God in the wrong seat. He needs to be driving. That's what it is for me.
If there's a couple listening tonight driving together and they're going through tough times,
mm-hmm.
I'm here to tell you, this couple, and Renee is in the studio,
mm-hmm.
it's like they're young lovers. they adore each other. It's true love. They really, really think the world of each other.
That's right.
What would you say to that couple driving in the car tonight?
Well, I do believe with all my heart that it's, you know, it's all about God. God is the one, he created it. He knows exactly what you need. He knows who you need. He has the perfect person picked out for you. We screw it all up by picking it for ourselves. And we, you know, I would just, you know, I know people don't like to hear it. You know, people get tired of hearing about God, but he's the source of all good things in life. He's the one who brought her to me. There's not a question in my mind about it. I would just point them to faith in God.
You and Renee started Guided Ministries.
Yes.
What does that do?
Well, we basically are committed to sharing Christ in our lives, and with not showing how he has changed our lives with each other. We do public speaking. She has a great testimony about how she's been healed from the brain surgery that left her paralyzed. And it was a great thing for me too, because I swear I wanted to jump out of the fourth floor window of the hospital when I saw the MRI with how much of her brain was taken up by these tumors. I didn't think there was any way she could live, let alone be, you know, still be in her right mind, if you will. So it was just, she's the greatest thing that happened to me other than him, but he brought her.
If there's some listener tonight that says, man, I need some hope. I need hope. Tom, where do I get hope?
Well, the source is, you know, God Almighty. It's just call out to him. He's waiting for you, just like a parent is waiting to hear from a child. But you know what? We're at a website, tomtrese.com. Contact us. We'd love to counsel with you, share with you. We'd love to steer you to wherever we can pray with you, give you help, whatever anybody needs. We want to help.
Last question. What advice, Tom Trese, would you give our young listeners this evening?
Well, I think I just did, actually. I just believe that God is the source of all of life, and I believe that our scripture logo of Guided Ministries is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is probably, that's our logo scripture for our ministry, and that's what we would, probably the most important thing that we would share with anybody.
Tom, how can we learn more about the Dove Fund, your books, your ministries, your recordings, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, thank God for the internet. our personal website is www.tomtrese.com. It's Trese's, TREECE.com. The Dove Fund is dovefund.org, dovefund.org. And websites, email addresses and phone numbers on there that you can contact us with that. And we'd be more than happy to share the great story of what the Dove Fund is doing or what we're doing with Guided Ministries. All of those are there waiting for you.
Tom Trese, you are an author, columnist, composer, but most of all, you're a man of faith.
Yes.
And a fabulous husband.
Well, she's nodding, so thank you, Lord.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.